Hi, it's Diane, and it is Friday, June 9th. I'm here with the 12 o'clock group. So far we have David and Catherine and Kathy. Who wants to start us off with check-ins and celebrations?
I can. It's Kathy. My celebration was I took Alex to Boy Scout camp last Sunday, and one of the things that I kind of struggle with sometimes is that he gets a little snarky and weird when he's going away, and so he starts kind of acting extra rude or whatever. I don't know if that's I'm going away or I'm a grown-up now, but we've seen that before, and so this year I didn't let it get to me, but then on the drive up I said, you know, I really get that you probably are going to want to just be with your guys once you get there. So, but Mom and I are going to want to be able to say goodbye to you and, you know, have a little stuff. But would you like to do that, like, before we get to, you know, down to the camp? And he's, or do you, you know, do you want Mom and I to stay? And he said, I think I'd like to do it before. And so, like, I pulled off to the side of the road for just a second, you know, didn't make it anything big. And, you know, we just really concentrated and saying, you know, I hope you have a great time. And then we really dropped him off. It was raining kind of thing. We walked by his cabin again, just said bye, but didn't make a big deal of it and left. And that was big for me because I didn't make it that he didn't love me. So I just was like, you know,
Wow. Let
him be a dude and let him, like, not have his mom being like, are you okay? Do you want us to make your, you know, it's like, you know, we have a tendency to act like that. So, like, you know, instead, like, we'll be a Boy Scout. So that was good for me.
You were the kind of mom that you wanted to be, and
yes.
you didn't take it personally, and
yes,
you how do you think he felt about it?
I think he felt empowered, and yet, you know, I got my needs met too. You know, in the sense of that, I got to turn around and say, "I hope you have a great week," and you know, I got to have a little eye contact kind of time. But it didn't have to be me slurping all over him and, you know, so I was respectful of his boundaries. But then, you know, instead of me just acquiescing and not getting any of my needs met, I got those met within boundaries. Yeah, so,
look at you,
so
with a win-win. That's awesome, Kathy.
I know. That's why I was like, I have a celebration this week. Cause some weeks I'm like really trying to pull it through. Like, I didn't kill him. Like, you know.
Or you didn't push him away, or you didn't embarrass him in front of his friends, right? Exactly.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. David and Catherine, I don't know if you guys normally check in independent of one another or whether you kind of come across as one being, but I'm happy to do it either way, whatever you want to do.
Well, I'll let Catherine decide if she wants to, but I will celebrate that our 11-year-old is, I think maybe we're just sort of getting a little better about managing triggers, and maybe it's just that the end of school is coming up. We still have another 2 weeks here in Huntington Beach, California, but I think we're just sort of on a more level, emotional field, generally speaking.
What do you think is the key driver of that, David?
Well, I think mainly not having homework is probably the main thing. So maybe I shouldn't celebrate quite as much.
If you're aware of some of the things that are triggers, right? So you know the homework ends up being a trigger. That gives you a place to potentially take aim if you wanted to work on this once school starts again, right?
And he's also actually doing a lot of his chores without either being asked or with maybe just being asked once,
yeah.
Which is huge for us.
Yeah, so and more independent on his chores. That's awesome. Catherine, what would you add?
I would add that I think it's more personal to me, but I tend to, when he wants something that is not reasonable, I just, like, ignore it, and it will go away. So not interacting with whatever he wants, like a dirt bike or anything, just puts it out there, and I don't respond, so he drops it. So
is it about not engaging? Is it about letting it go? What do you think is the big part of it for you?
I have to let it go because he wants a lot of things. And some of them are not at all reasonable. And I just ignore it. I don't really acknowledge it, but then he drops it. And so we don't end in a conflict about it.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess, go ahead, David.
He likes to argue. He likes to just say something so that you'll engage with something. You know, he just likes to say contrary things and then just see what happens. So it's sort of a learning process on our part to go, well, that's interesting, but I don't need to say anything about that.
Well, and that's actually the direction I was going to go, is kind of like, you know, if you get curious about what are some of the executive function challenges underneath that, what do you notice?
Well, I mean, he just has a lot of wants and things, and, you know, where we live, it's not entirely reasonable for us to get him a dirt bike, and he's slowly maturing. The 3 to 5 year thing is pretty useful to keep that in the back of your mind,
in
the back of my mind anyway.
So they've got a bad case of the gimmies, right? And that's a pretty common at that age piece. And then the other piece of it is the impulse control, which is, you know, the part of us when we see something, you know, it's like I'm driving down the road and I see a brand new Mustang convertible. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And I think that, but I don't say I want that out loud. I might say it in my head. But if I didn't have a filter and I had some executive function challenges, it's going to be harder for me to do that. And so I think that there, I guess what's coming up for me is it about just letting it go and not engaging? Or is there an opportunity there to help him to begin to figure out, what do you do when you have those kind of fun, crazy thoughts in your head? Do you just say them? Do you use different language so that it doesn't sound like, you know, because some people, you're hearing that as kind of greedy, I guess is the word that's coming to mind, right? And so it's kind of like, can you help him come up with words where it's like, oh, that's cool, as opposed to, I want that? Because when he says, I want that, it sounds like it's triggering you. Is that fair?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I noticed that somebody in Maryland joined us. Is it Sylvie or is it Stan?
It's Stan.
Hi, Stan. It's
Sorry
Diane.
To
How are you
late.
Today? Oh, no worries.
Fine.
Why don't you go ahead and... Yeah. Why don't you go ahead? You're following me around this week. Stan's normally in my Wednesday afternoon group. Why don't you check in and do your celebrations, and then we'll jump in to take your name.
Well, coincidentally, today was Martin's graduation from middle school.
Congratulations.
And so that was certainly a huge amount to celebrate. And naturally, I thought about, like, the bigger picture of that it was not just this year, but 3 years of struggling through it at ever-increasing rates of success. It was the first year was just really difficult, and the next was hard, but not as hard, and this year went better. And Martin got an award for academic achievement, which is quite, it was a big surprise because Sophie and I had run into the head of the school, and Sophie happened to ask him if Martin would get an award, because Martin has always wanted to get an award for something at some point in some ceremony, and the head of school said, no, I'm afraid not. And it turned out that Martin did get an award, but that the head of school didn't want to reveal that, so that it would be more of a surprise. So wow. That's a huge surprise. Really big surprise. So we were thrilled, and Martin is like, you know, totally in heaven with his award. So that's it's a huge accomplishment for him to not only get through the year, but to get through with honors. And
yeah,
I guess, you know, the other people
awesome.
Don't know what I've gone through, but you have some idea of it.
Well, and I think that everybody's kind of in that same boat. It's like you and I want to just say it's less about the you know the challenges and more about the hard work that the three of you guys have really done. And you've made
yes.
some great strides, mm-hmm. and you've got a lot to celebrate, regardless of whether he got an award or not. But what a gift to have for him.
Yes.
To kind of motivate him to kind of go, wow, I really did work hard this year, and it's showing. So
yes.
Congratulations to all three of
That's
you.
That's exactly how he reacted. It's almost exactly his own words, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm. That's
awesome.
Okay,
so, yes,
cool.
Even without the award, and we didn't think he'd get one, we were thrilled that, you know, he made it through, but that just added to it, like icing on the cake.
That's awesome. All right, so let's loop back and figure out where we want to take aim. Kathy, I'm going to go back to you if you're ready.
I am. I love that it's you on the phone. So it's summertime, and I am challenged with the amount of technology Alex is doing on his non-camp weeks. And, you know, so today's topic of, you know, keeping systems simple is kind of a perfect topic. So I would like to take aim on having Alex be part of dialing it back. I don't really know how to get buy-in on that. That's what I'm going to need some support around. But just dialing it back to, you know, not 12 hours on non-camp days where
yeah.
he does nothing else.
That makes sense. And I, Kathy, can I tell this group why you like this
oh,
me
sure.
on the phone? So I might be a little bit more direct with Kathy than I am with the rest of you because Kathy's a private client of mine. So I just so you know that I'm like, if I get in her face, it's not like I do that with everything. We just have permission. I have permission to do that with her. So
that's right. And this
I'll
is
be more
my
gentle
topic,
with everybody.
You know, it's just, yeah,
and this is her
topic.
So
right.
Exactly. Awesome. So David and Catherine, where do you guys want to take aim today?
Well, let's see. In about half an hour, we have his IEP for his coming middle school engagement. So we have 3 years to look forward to that.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if there's anything to take aim on there.
It's just, for me, it's just to get the middle school on the same page. We've had, you know, a really good RSC teacher at his school now. And so I hope that the next, you know, resource teacher is as good as, you know, Ellen has been. So,
yeah. So focusing in on the IEP meeting that's coming up with an intention of getting on the same page. And it sounds like the other piece of it is kind of getting really clear on the accommodations and supports that he's going to need in middle school and how that's different than where he is right now.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yep.
Yes.
Now, I don't know you guys well enough to know whether kind of that double-edged taking aim is too much or is that feels like a good size of a place to take aim.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's appropriate for this next couple of weeks because it's going to happen within an hour. But
okay. Well, so then that's a great aha, David. So, you know, there may be something else in this as we talk through to identify as what you're going to work on. So maybe keeping a lens to, okay, how do I bring some of this into the conversation today? Is there an area at home that you want to kind of listen to in the background as we're talking?
He's really anxious about things.
Yeah.
So
is that kind of your response to his anxiety, or is it more about, you know?
Well, he doesn't really talk much.
Yeah.
So it's.
We haven't figured out a good way to not have a feedback loop that blows up out of control. So
help me understand that. So if you guys, he gets anxious, you guys engage with him around his anxiety and it ends up in a blow up. Is that what you mean, David?
Well, basically either we can either just kind of stop and just let him cool down and then, like, we'll say, we need to get this page of homework done before we can do X. And it's like his immediate reaction is, I'm not doing that. So basically we've learned, okay, well, that's the opening bid, and we're going to wait, and then we'll try again in a little while. Best to not be in a hurry.
Yeah.
But then we have problems with any kind of feedback about, you know, let's check over this. This isn't right, anything like that. It's like, oh, well, my teacher does that, or I'm done with that, or yes, that's right, you don't know what you're talking about. So, and there's just, it's just like he's just generally anxious about, I don't know, showing that he might be wrong in some ways.
Right. So what it sounds like is that you want to take aim on how to give him feedback that he might take negatively that might trigger him. Is that right?
I would love to hear feedback on that.
Okay. All right. Catherine, does that feel like the right place?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Stan, where do you want to take aim?
Well, we're about to take a family trip, and there's traveling together is often very challenging because Martin isn't very flexible, whether it comes to new foods or new experiences or anything. He can be really difficult to deal with. So for me, it's like how to get through the next week without constant confrontations about ridiculous things.
Interesting. So you want to take aim on the level of conflict on the family trip, is that right?
Exactly, yes.
Okay. And I'm saying it that way specifically. Can I plant an idea for you, Stan?
Yes.
So once there's two sides of this, right? It takes two to tango. So part of it is kind of his reaction to the difficult situation, and the other is what do you do when he reacts to the difficult situation. So it's kind of both sides of it. So I'm going to challenge you to kind of think about it, because he could always have a difficult time being inflexible when things are different. That's a natural part of his executive function challenge. Whether or not you get frustrated that he does that is up to you. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. Totally. It's a terrific approach right off the bat for starters.
Cool. Awesome. Well, so let's go in. Let's dig in. Let me double check and make sure nobody else joined us. I think this is it. Yep. So there's just the four of you guys today, which is great. We're on page 50-ish. I can't see
56.
My glasses. 56. Thank you, somebody. That must have been Kathy, as I had to get. So we're talking about keeping it simple. And, you know, I think that there are kind of two different parts to this. And one of them is explicit in these paragraphs on the page, which is kind of the whole, you know, not doing really complicated stuff. You know, Elaine and I both tell stories about the first, you know, reward systems we put in place and how complicated they are. I've got actually still up in the wall in my office, you know, the original house rules that I created, and there was like 20-some house rules, and that didn't work too well. But it's we do make it complicated. It gets overwhelming for us. It gets overwhelming for our kids. And we want to try to keep things simple and easy because from an executive function perspective, from a trigger management perspective, it just makes so much more sense to kind of keep things very simple and straightforward, which is why we teach taking aim all the time. And that's why, you know, I challenge each of you to kind of take aim on one thing specifically as we do this work every other week. The other piece for this that's not so explicit that I talked about in a group earlier this week, we had a really good, juicy conversation about it, is keeping it simple in terms of our communication. And this has been coming up a lot for me with my teenagers. and with a lot of my clients right now, is that a lot of times we as parents end up kind of in lecture mode when we communicate to our kids. It's like, you know, something happens and we want to give them this long, long explanation about why they shouldn't do something a certain way, or why the sky is blue, or whatever it is. We kind of get into this long explanation. And I think about Charlie Brown, and remember the way his teacher sounded. It was like, rah, 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 right? And that's what our kids hear at some point. And so keeping it simple in terms of the way that we communicate with our kids can be so powerful, especially when they're moving really quickly. And I remember with my kids, when I first learned this, when they were like 11 or 12, it was always like, shoes, upstairs, now. You know, and it was like, I didn't give them 17 reasons about how they forgot to take their shoes off and put them on the stairs, or how, you know, if they leave their shoes out, somebody's going to trip over them and the dog's going to eat them. I mean, I don't need to give them the long backstory. Chances are our kids have heard the backstory 17 times already, but if I just say shoes, stairs, now, it gets the point across, it does it concisely, and they don't shut down by the time I've like gotten to the thing that I want them to do, because our kids shut down so easily, they get overwhelmed so easily. So keeping it simple in terms of the what we do and the systems and the structures, as well as keeping it simple in terms of the way we communicate with our kids, are kind of two important things to think about as we're keeping it simple in June. So what's coming up for you guys around this topic?
Oh, I'm cracking up because this is, you know.
You don't make it complicated, do you, Kathy?
Oh, my God. My poor child being born to a high verbal. So I loved that. Shoes upstairs now. Like, seriously. I could have made that three paragraphs.
I could talk for an hour.
Love
about it.
Oh, sure. The cost of the shoes. Anyway, love it. I mean, I really
do. Being responsible, following through on your requirements. I mean, all this
stuff.
Oh,
my Lord. Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, and then that statement that they shut down because we verbally have overwhelmed them. And I think I do that many times a day. My kid just stops. And I even use the peanuts, wah, wah, because I know that's what he's hearing. Like, he has left the building. So, great. I had not even taken that from reading the thing. So, that's a
cool,
wonderful thing.
Other thoughts?
I'll agree with that completely. That's just keep it simple. He doesn't really care about the reasons. I mean, he probably knows them really more than I suspect, or he's heard them already enough, but he doesn't need to know them again.
Yeah, I like that approach too.
Well, I think that's the piece of it, is that the logical part of our brain says, well, I've asked them to do this before and they didn't do it, so they must not have understood. So I need to go a little bit further in explaining. Because that just must be that's the logical answer, right? But the reality is that they didn't follow through because they got executive function challenges, and it has nothing to do with whether or not they wanted to, or they heard us, or any of that other stuff. Most of the time, sometimes they don't hear us, but it's that part of us that assumes that it's because they didn't understand. Other thoughts?
Well, for me, too, this really resonates because I know Martin doesn't like me to come up with lists like do this first, then do this, then do this, then do this. It's like he's already lost after one or two things. So I've learned to kind of scale it back and just ask him to do one or two things at a time. And if he reacts that it's two is too much, I'll just say, well, you know, just the first thing. So it's a recognition of, like you said before, the executive functioning and the limits, and not to overwhelm him with long lists of, you know, like programming a robot to do a sequence of, you know, half a dozen things.
Yeah.
So I've learned that, but I know I can still get better at it.
So I'm curious, Dan, how do you do with long lists? Is that the way you manage your life, or is that get overwhelming for you too?
Yeah. Oh, for me, it's like I like long lists, and I just like crossing off each thing as I finish it. It's just, you know, a feeling of accomplishment. So it's definitely more my style than his. But at least we're at the stage now where I ask him once. He usually hears me the first time, and if I say it again, because in the past I'd usually have to say it again, he'll say, you know, I heard you. I'm going to do it right now. So we've come a long way in that sense.
Yeah, so you're communicating in a way that he is actually capturing it and able to do it.
Amazing. Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and maybe precisely because I'll just say one thing that he needs to do.
Yeah.
I also sometimes resent that I have to even say something that he knows, or maybe he's supposed to know that he's supposed to do. So I'm thinking like, okay, well, he didn't do it because he forgot, or he still needs me to sort of coach him on certain things, like putting his plate in the sink after lunch, or just little things that may seem obvious to a functioning adult, but for him, he just doesn't seem to remember some of the basic things. And so I still feel a level of frustration over that.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to kind of play the role of helping him by occasional reminders of things.
Yeah, so I think what's popping into my head, Stan, as you're saying that, is some future opportunity, and it may not be an opportunity now, but it's kind of like when you think about the fact that you like to use lists as a way to organize yourself, one of the things that can be really powerful as we're partnering with our kids is to help them to figure out what does and doesn't work for them. It may be that Martin is a list guy, but he's a write-it-down kind of guy, and he may be kinesthetic, and so you telling it to him is harder for him than if he writes it down, or, you know, kind of figuring out, it's about helping him figure out how to figure out what his brain needs.
Yes, good point. And I think one thing that has worked for him is to put a reminder into his phone, because he's electronics. And when that phone is what reminds him, not his dad or mom, he responds a lot better, since he's the one who put the reminder in there. And it's also less annoying if it's not the mom or dad.
Yeah, yeah. So knowing that, is there things are working better by just giving him one thing at a time. What's the nugget for you out of Keep It Simple that will take you to the next level, Stan?
Oh, boy. I don't know. I guess like what you said, of helping him develop his own organizing systems so that he can self-organize, I think that's the next step.
That makes sense.
The answer isn't like that I should get better at keeping him organized. It's more like passing the baton to him.
Mhm. Yeah, well, and I actually, that's reminding me of that the supporting and enabling webinar we did with the model with the four steps in it. Did you listen to that, Stan?
It was what an enabling?
There was a webinar that Elaine and I did where we talked about the transferring the baton, the supporting versus enabling webinar. Is that what you're referring to?
The supporting versus enabling. You know, I'm writing that down because I don't think I listened to that one. I do listen to some of them, but that one doesn't ring a bell. So I will listen to it.
Yeah, that was last month's webinar, and we talked a lot about that transferring the baton and all the stages of transferring the baton, so that might be helpful.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
That was perfect. I will make sure to do that.
Yeah. So I'm like called to kind of go back, David and Catherine, to the second place you wanted to take aim, which is this whole kind of what to do when you have to talk to him about homework or things that give him feedback about what's not working. what comes up for you around this idea of keeping it simple? How could that help you in the feedback loop?
Well, I guess maybe tying that in with the you know, shoes upstairs now approach, if we could train him to say, you know, take a look at this again, and if that would work for him instead of trying to be more long-winded about it, then he gets turned off and, I don't know, I guess he feels like we're wasting his time by explaining things. I don't know.
So when you think, so let's go back and get curious for a second on this situation. What do you think is going on for him in that moment? He's finished his homework. You're reviewing it is what it sounds like. It's like he brings it to you guys and you kind of look it over. He's at the stage where you guys are still doing that. Is that what's going on?
It's not that straightforward. I mean, he basically does it under duress, and then he, like, puts it away in a backpack. And it's like, you know, he's not used to us being able to at all give him anything constructive about it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I guess we have to sort of ease into it. But, I mean, it's going to only get worse with multiple classes in middle school versus barely any homework now. It's like,
yeah,
well,
we don't have any homework, really. They have math and a packet, and that's really it for homework.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, so I guess the question I had that kind of before that is kind of like, is your view of your role in reviewing his homework consistent with his view of your role in reviewing his homework?
I would guess that's probably not.
Not.
Well, and that's really cool, like, because especially in middle school, a lot of times the teachers will say to the kids, you need to be doing your homework on your own. Your parents shouldn't be reviewing it.
Yeah.
And our kids are not quite there yet from an executive function perspective, not necessarily from a content perspective. And so how do you kind of negotiate with him, for lack of a better word, and figure out what the right level of involvement is for the two of you to give him the checks and balances and give him independence?
I don't know. I guess it would go back to actually caring. It seems like he doesn't care. But then again, he actually puts in effort sometimes, and he's been getting some pretty decent scores at times, especially when he's been working with as a math tutor, and he's been doing extremely well in a lot of his math tests. So I think he's sort of bumped up some self-worth in that regard. But I don't know. I think he just, the packet thing, he just doesn't care. He just wants to do it. And then once he's written something, then it's like, it's done. I don't have to think about it anymore. You said I had to do this page. I did this page. My legal mind says I'm done because it's something written down.
Well, and that's just, part of that is executive function. Part of that is a guy thing. I remember my now 18-year-old, he had a paper he needed to do, and he met the entire rubric in one sentence. You know, and it was it was brilliant, very creative. He actually, like, did everything the teacher said to do, but it was only one sentence, and it was a difficult conversation to have because he technically met the requirement. He didn't meet the intent. And what I ended up doing is having to go back to the teacher and say, I think it would be helpful to be more clear, maybe not with all students, but clearly with my son, about your expectations. Well, I don't want to say three paragraphs because then all they'll write is three paragraphs. And I'm like, well, there's a difference between saying three paragraphs in one sentence. You know, it's you know, that sort of thing. And so I think that there's this dance that you do to kind of, and it's great because you're having this conversation and getting to know the teachers a little bit, but there's this opportunity, particularly in that middle school age, of figuring out, you know, where do you let the teacher give the feedback? Where do you give the feedback? How do you make sure that, you know, where do the natural consequences become the feedback, which is, hey, you've got a 70 on this paper. What was it, what you expected? you know, how do you get some feedback from your teacher on why it was a 70 and not a 90? I mean, that sort of stuff, you know. So there's this dance that you do to kind of help him to be more and more independent. So what comes up for the two of you as I'm saying that?
Well, I'd say that sounds good going forward. We've just been trying to help him not have deficits up through this point, you know, kind of like launch, teach the bird how to flap his wings, and now we're pushing him out of the nest all the way into middle school, and hope the flapping continues.
Well, and I guess that's, so I'm going to point you back, if you haven't, to that supporting versus enabling webinar as well, and the fact that it's not about, you know, there's four steps to independence, not I'm in charge, no, you're in charge. And we do that on purpose because it does take more of a handoff than just a tossing the baton up in the air and hoping they'll catch it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. We'll watch. We'll listen to that.
Cool. Awesome. Other thoughts? Stan, what's going on with you around this conflict in the family trip?
I just had to take it off mute. Well, what you said I think will be really helpful of separating his reaction from my reaction to his reaction. And like I think for me to take a step back and I guess I feel so emotionally wrapped up with him that it's hard when he reacts to have some distance and step back. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know. I guess just to be aware and conscious and not overreact to whatever is going on and to try to stay calm. As hard as that is sometimes. But What I do like to do is to encourage him when it comes to a new food or a new experience or something. And I know sometimes I can overdo my encouragement, and it may sound more like insisting that he tries something new, and I know that's how he hears it. So I think I just have to sort of pull back a little and maybe just say something once, and if he doesn't go for it, just to kind of back off instead of just forcing my way forward and being coercive and just so insistent. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, so there's two things that are kind of popping into my head as you're talking, Stan. The first thing is,
yeah,
you know, what would be different if I said out loud, Martin's reaction was absolutely reasonable and normal?
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of go with that compassion
for
a second.
Yeah. Mhm. That's fine. Mhm. And it
usually how does that change your reaction? If you know that what's going on for him is absolutely normal and reasonable, how does that change your reaction?
I guess it's just a question of acceptance, just my ability to accept him as he is and whatever his particular limitations are, to just accept them and move forward without judgment. I guess
the minute we throw the judgment in there, it's like we want it to change. This shouldn't be happening. This can't be happening.
Yes.
I've got to fix it.
Right.
You're in fix it mode. You're in fight or flight mode.
Yes.
You're in that kind of search and destroy mode. And so if you see that it's normal,
yes,
it's like, wow, Martin's having a really hard time right now being flexible. I
mm-hmm.
get that. He's on
mm-hmm.
a vacation. He's out of his normal space.
It's new.
It's new.
Yes.
It's not routine. I mean, all of these things. He's having a really hard time right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's some of the language you want to begin to use instead of, I've got to fix this, this shouldn't be happening?
I guess saying to myself, well, this is normal. It's to be expected. We're traveling in a place he doesn't know and with people he doesn't know and experiences that he may not feel comfortable with, and that that's okay. And not to be like the overbearing dad about the whole thing.
So what do you think is the, what's
just
the voice in your head?
Myself.
Yeah, so what's the voice in your head that's wanting to be the overbearing dad?
I guess it's just that whole thing with should. Like, well, he should be able to just, you know, eat some unfamiliar food, even if he finds it disgusting. It's like really a sort of, I guess it's also a wish, an unspoken wish that he would be different from who he really is.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, you know, none of us signed up for the quirky kids we ended up with. And so we wish that they were, we wish they were more resilient. We wish they were flexible. We wish they were more, you know, diligent, especially if we're very different than them. And so I think that, you know, mm-hmm. your want for him is awesome. And it's about figuring out what is and isn't realistic. You know, so it's kind of like, when are those moments
yeah.
that we decide, mm-hmm. hey, you want to try a bite of my sushi versus you will eat one bite and you, you know, it's that sort of, kind of there's a dance there again. It's the, when, what is realistic to ask for, and when is it realistic to ask
mm-hmm.
for it?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think you want to do on vacation?
Yes. Well, I think just based on what you just said, to just step back and perhaps analyze the situation before reacting to it, and knowing what's important and when some intervention is needed, and maybe 2/3 of the time no intervention will be needed, and I could just sort of think to myself, oh yeah, that's what I expected. He's not really going for this new experience, and that's okay, and we'll just, you know, get through it, and it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Maybe just some self-talk like that.
Sounds good. Awesome. So, we got a minute. We got a few minutes left before we need to wrap up. Kathy, talk to me about technology and buy-in.
I don't know how to get, because I'm not going to get buy-in, but I want to be empathetic to him, but I just still feel like having 12-hour technology days is just too much, you know, or even 10-hour days, and so.
Well, so let's go back and say what is and isn't realistic. So you want to put a boundary in place, and this party that wants him to go, oh, yes, Mom, I would love to do that.
Then I'll know I'm in a
dream. That's probably not realistic. And yeah. You know that buy-in is about choice. So part of this is about figuring out what your boundary is, and part of this is about giving him space to decide what he wants to decide. So is it about telling him how much he can have and then letting him figure out what he does with it? Is it about, you know, giving him a menu every day? Is it about, you know, giving him flexibility? I mean, what are the things that are going to help him to feel more bought in with a boundary you're going to put in place? Because ultimately, at the end of the day, you're going to say 12 hours. He's going to say 12 hours a day, and you're going to say no.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, that's what I think. I got kind of thoughtful about it when I was hearing some friends who don't necessarily have neurotypical kids but don't have my kid, who, you know, they have, like, every day you got to read for an hour, and they don't care how they do it. And that's how, like, you know, when I think it was Stan was talking about chores lists and stuff, like, I give Alex his these things need to be done by 5 o'clock list. And he, because he likes to check things off on the list, sort of, and he likes to be in control of when it happens, and that's the big thing about, you know, versus me walking in and saying, I need you to do this now. So a part of me is like, you know, so when I was talking to this friend with her child when he was over here, she said, oh, yeah, I use this list where he has to do these things, and then he is limited to this many hours of technology or screen time during the day. And so, of course, that just made me all giddy. But then I have no idea how to take something even mildly like that and introduce it into our life.
So hang on a second, Kathy. So what is your goal in limiting his technology?
Having him have to learn how to do some other things with his mind and body. For instance, he's even had some friends come over and spend the night recently, which has been great. He's kind of expanding his social circle, which is terrific. But then he wants to go off and, like, sit in front of a computer while his friend, who is still here, is, like, sitting on the couch playing with his iPad, you know, or not playing with him. He'll say, like, why won't Alex come bounce on the trampoline with me, you know? And I'm like, Alex, are you on the computer? Like, Julian's still here at the house. Like, can't do that. So
yeah.
I'm noticing that he's not even interacting with other humans that much.
that's really the question, is kind of like what it sounds like is instead of, so less technology feels like a solution to a challenge. And so mm-hmm. the one challenge you just described was the whole social interaction. So how do I help mm-hmm. him to be more socially and emotionally engaged when he mm-hmm. has friends over would be a challenge that you could take aim on. Right.
Okay.
Which is kind of like maybe, so with that specific challenge, maybe as you're on your way to pick up the friend or beforehand, you say, hey, David's coming over this afternoon. I know last time you guys kind of sat around and played video games and he got a little impatient because he wanted to do something outdoors and fun. What do you think you want to do with him differently this time that's going to feel more like what he wants to do as well as what you want to do? You know, so that's different than saying you may only have 4 hours worth of, you know, so if you
right.
focus on the problem rather than the solution, how does it change it for you, Kathy?
I like that better because that is the skill set that I want to teach him. That's what I want him to do. I mean, I'm afraid he'll just say, I don't know what to do. I don't know. That's all I really want to do. And I guess my fear is that he will then not want to have people spend the night or have a friend come over in fear that that will mean that they can't do technology the whole time.
Right,
but,
because here's the thing is that you're really trying to, what you're trying to do is you're trying to help him to have more balance in his life or more exercise in his life or more whatever in his life. And so
yes.
if you push on no technology, if he turned around and so I'm making this up, but this is what my kid did when I cut back his technology, if he would read an entire book in a day, and all he would do is lay in his bed and read a book. And it's
yeah.
like, so I didn't end up solving the problem because he was hyper-focused on reading instead of hyper-focused
That's
on technology.
Yeah.
When the
yeah.
reality is that the problem is the hyper-focus. And so it's kind of like,
yeah.
how do I help my child to break the hyper-focus, which is, hey, every hour that you're playing on the computer, you need to take a break and say, do I want to still play on the computer or do I want to go do something else? Or, you know, for every 15 minutes you spend on the computer, you've got to spend 20 minutes running around the house or whatever it is, you know. But so it's like you're focusing on the, again, it's that moving the lens from the solution, which is I want my child to have less technology, to the problem, which is the why do I want
which
them
is
to have
more
less
balance,
technology?
Which is more
yeah.
balance. I want there to be more balance during the summer, that there is some, I don't stay in my pajamas all day. I go outside, you know, and run around or walk the dog or I don't, you know, we can go to the pool, whatever. I want there to be a little bit of reading time, you know, a little bit of something other than just staring at a screen. So, yeah, it's about the balance versus, yeah, it's not a hatred of technology. And I also want him to have a fun summer and not just, you know, it's not like I'm making him get a job. But, you know, you do some chores, you know, you do your family contributions kind of thing. So,
yeah. Kathy, I'm trying to remember, because I know we've talked about technology before. Did you ever listen to the Randy Coleman webinars that he did? Because what's coming up for me is he has this concept called the play diet. Randy
right.
Coleman is our resident expert on technology. And
right. I have listened to him. I don't know if it was through yours or through ADH magazine. But I have heard him do the play diet, which of course freed my brain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's about taking that concept and making it a little more real for me as far as the balance. Because you hit the nail on the head. That's what I'm looking for. Not, I don't want you to touch a screen or, you know, blah, blah, blah. But Alex doesn't seem to have that regulation because it's all impulse. It's like, you know, given a choice, you know, when you said like, would you want to do something else? He'd go, no.
Right.
No.
Right, of course.
I don't want to do anything else. Like, right.
But if you said, Alex, it's time to do something else, what else do you want to do? He'd immediately come up with something else.
I don't know that he could.
Interesting. That's cool. Then you know that that's his challenge, is creativity around other things to do.
Yeah.
So maybe having a list of 17 things he could do with his time instead of one might be helpful
right.
in this sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
So what's your action specifically on this with regard to kind of taking this and making it more real for you with the play diet?
I think I'll see if I can find Randy Coleman's thing and listen to that or read that again. I think also coming up with some ideas so that he could, you know, have a little bit of support around that. And then also a little bit of structure, like we expect you to do, you know, 1 hour of, or maybe 30 minutes even. I'm willing to dial back slowly. You know, 30 minutes of exercise a day. That can be walking the dog, playing tennis, whatever. You can decide. Here are some ideas maybe under each of those kind of things. You know, read for 30 minutes, you know, not just at bedtime, but, you know, during the day kind of thing. So helping come up with a little bit of structure but having some flexibility in there so that he can be a choice. You know, I don't want to micromanage him all summer. That's not fun for me either. I don't want to stick a chart.
Cool. No, I got it. So let's shift over to overall, to our wrap up, Kathy. I'll give you a minute here to kind of consolidate that and figure out what you want to do with the information from here. I'm on page 57, which is where the four questions are that we use at the end of each of the calls. So what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity? What's a takeaway or an aha that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? So take a minute, jot down a few notes, and I would love to hear from all of you at least one aha and one action item that you think you're going to take moving forward.
I will go first. The thing that really stuck out to me was the choose stairs now. And I will try to keep it simple and just, you know, not belabor the point. Or like, you know, dishes sink now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll double that, and I'll say also that I want to listen to the supporting and enabling webinar and try to feel a little bit better about how we've been doing with homework. I think we're mostly over for this year, but next year will be another thing.
Thanks. So, you know, what that reminds me of, Catherine, when you're talking about kind of the shoe stairs now, one of the things that I want to just be aware of is that part of the reason we do it as parents is that we've got some emotional charge around the situation and we need to clear that emotion, right? So if I'm frustrated that you haven't listened to me, that frustration is going to come out in the way I talk. I'm going to be more apt to to be long-winded, because really what I'm trying to do is get rid of my frustration. And so I talk a lot because it helps me to be less frustrated. So knowing that you have some frustration there is probably what will help you. So if you take a deep breath and go, wow, I'm really frustrated about this, choose stairs now, it's going to be easier than if you just bottle up the frustration and try to make the behavior change. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, Stan, what about you?
Well, I'm scribbling away here. Realistic expectations during travel and facing new experiences, and that my reaction needs to be more thought out and measured and more based on being more accepting of who he is at this stage. And I also noted to view the supporting and enabling webinar. And another thing is I listened really closely to the parent who's concerned about the overdosing on electronics, because I realized that after our vacation week, I'll be facing the exact same thing. So I listened really closely to her game plan, which I think some elements of which would work for my son too, of presenting options and some structure, and to be a little bit more insistent. He'd get off of his screens and enjoys the summer outside, and I'll try to play an active role in setting up some play dates with, he has some really good friends who are up against the same predicament of, you know, there's nothing wrong with being bored for a little while, but kids in this century don't like 5 minutes of boredom. So if I get the two of them together or three kids together, at least they can amuse each other instead of my trying to entertain and micromanage my own son all summer.
Yeah. Absolutely. Cool. How does that feel? Does that feel concrete enough for you, Stan?
Yeah. I think it's doable. I don't think it's too big to, you know, I think it's really achievable, all of those things.
Great. Kathy, what about you?
So my big aha and takeaway is less talk. I love that. I have bolded you know, shoes upstairs now. No more. I want to listen to the Randy Coleman webinar. I do want to have a conversation about ideas Alex can have that are non-technology when he has a friend over. Mm-hmm. So some of those ideas with him. And then, you know, again, scaffolding him, maybe having some ideas for them. But, and I like, you know, what Stan was just saying, an active role and also getting them out of the house, you know, like, hey, we're going to the pool, you know, kind of thing. And let them, you know, they got bored at the pool the other day. I'm like, well, figure it out. We're not leaving for another hour. And sure enough, then nobody wanted to go, you know, because they did figure it out. So, you know, I didn't solve it for them.
Cool. Awesome. Great call today. Glad to join you Friday, people. Always nice to reconnect with
thank
us. And,
thank you so much.
And the
thank
next
you.
Call is in 2 weeks, and we'll have a Lifeline call, I think it's next
all
Tuesday
right.
night at 8 p.m. Thanks, everybody.
Good luck,
thanks.
Everybody.
Thanks.